Hello and welcome to the TBD podcast with myself, Dan, and my fellow host Trev and Ben. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. Now, this is a bit of a different one this week, as Trev's been lucky enough to get to the bright lights of London, be part of the big esports conference at ESI London. So, are you ready for your interrogation session, Trev?
Bring it on.
How was it? How was being at an event with people?
Do you know what? It was a lovely experience. Nearly made it to esports bar last month, kind of held back, you know, for a couple of various reasons, their side and my side, that it didn't feel like the right time. I was a bit nervous about traveling over. Have traveled a bit since, but this was in a room, you know, or in a venue with a lot of people. It's amazing the mindsets that have developed, you know, from over the last 2 years, you know, or the nervousness maybe, and maybe that's an internal thing, but there was just such a lovely vibe when got in there. Actually, it was a very reassuring. I nearly had to dip myself in sanitizer after, because it was hugs, handshakes, high fives, everything all flying around. But it felt nice. It felt good. It felt good to be, you know, at that, you know, and from the moment you got in, it was great. Box Park Wembley. Wow. What a venue. Just the layout of it. It was built for networking. Maybe that's where conferencing has maybe lost its way over the last few years, you know, where networking has become almost secondary to these things. And content, you know, is great. Content is king. I get all that. But we've asked ourselves, you know, why do we go to these events? And yes, there is learning to be brought home, but ultimately we're there to get access en masse to people. And that was the best thing I felt about, you know, ESI and Box Park as a venue.
Sounds very, very cool. I'm slightly jealous because I was 2 years since I've last been at any kind of conference. And there's probably going to be another 6 months before I get anywhere, because we're heading out of this conference season. Won't be till kind of March time that we're back into it.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's similar, like, you know, all around. And I was kind of thinking, like, this was definitely one to go to. Just the quality in the room was very good from an esports perspective. But even, like, you know, you're seeing guys that, like, that we have spoken to, like Chris Kisak, for example. Like, you know, they're there in the person, you know, and you can see how these relationships, you know, how they develop, having a beer, having a bite to eat with them. And it was really good. And the content there was very good too. I mean, it was hands up, but I didn't catch all the sessions, so Sam can give out to me if he listens in. But, you know, anything I went into was good, engaging. There were strong panelists, and I think that's what we need around it.
So you were there for the networking, but you also had a job, didn't you? You were moderating a panel. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, it's kind of, do you know what, at a personal level, you know, you kind of make these kind of life goals or life changes. My whole theory is I'm happy to be involved in a conference going forward. If I'm moderating a panel or speaking on a panel, it just feels like it's a good use of time and knowledge base. So it was great. Got to do a very interesting panel about engaging and reaching audiences, you know, the streaming audiences. Alex Colson from NEC, Mocklis from MBuzz Sports, and James from Monster Energy. I thought Alex Colson would be a very interesting guest on the podcast, actually. You know, he's doing really
nice
stuff.
We'll definitely get him on. He's an old friend of mine, so definitely
okay.
Get him on.
Yeah, he's very interesting. A very interesting approach on what he's trying to do with the NEC. It's not about having big, huge numbers. It's more about that niche audience and engaging with it, you know, and having the right partners like a Monster, like an Intel. The Monster side of the fence, that was very interesting, because for them, they were encouraging, they used a campaign with the NSC to encourage people to stay at home. And they sent them packs that included their product. And their product was very visible on all those streams then on it. So it was, you know, it was a nice activation for them. We kind of delved in a bit into the kind of the metrics that are important and what's the value add that having a, you know, a mainstream partner kind of brings to the table. And yeah, it was good. I cracked 4 dad jokes, and everybody was happy with them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Everyone was laughing, I bet.
But you had in stitches. I started my first panel in 2 years by saying, can those that are not speaking mute themselves? And nobody got it.
It was at the ultimate tumbleweed.
I worked so hard on this. I even practiced it three times going in, going, will I say this? Yeah, I will. I will. I said, turn off your cameras, mute yourselves if you're not speaking. And then about 30 seconds afterwards, someone goes, ha ha, I love it. Brilliant. So that person is on my Christmas list.
Yeah. There was more of a sympathy one, I think.
Possibly.
So there was obviously a lot of industry folk there, which is useful for the networking. Did you see any brands? Were any brands there having a nose?
So there was a lot of Premier League football clubs. There was at least four or five that a couple I spoke to, but a couple I saw there as well. There was a lot of data analytic companies, which was rather interesting. You know, a lot of the likes of your Stream Hatchet, your Stream Koi, the likes of esports charts, those, a lot of that, which kind of highlighting and API providers for betting, actually, you know, a lot of that. So just highlighting how much that side of the esports and gaming world is growing. Brand wise, with the exception of speakers, it was light enough. You know, it's probably something that you could see ESI probably need to do a bit of work on and grow. As we mentioned, Monster was on a panel. There was a couple of other brands on panels. But it's something from a networking perspective, I didn't really see it, you know. Lots of esports organizations.
Yeah.
Guild was there, you know, our favorite thing to mention. So
You did it.
Yeah, we kept up a proud record of mentioning them in every podcast. Tundra were there. The 1J guys from Norwich, you know, all that. Those teams were there, you know. So there was a good presence from teams. And interesting, actually, there was, lots of tournament providers, at least four I came across and encountered. There was tech solutions outside of data and investment individuals. So investment funds, firms, looking at the list through, there was a good presence. And, you know, I had the luxury of one or two conversations as well outside of that. So a good diverse mix, but right, Ben, probably a few more brands maybe could have been there.
It's always difficult to try and get brands on board because it's like when you go to a sports conference, you don't get many clubs and things because they have that fear of getting hijacked because they don't want to have those conversations. So you get a few brave ones that go, but most will probably sit out. I know you mentioned there about kind of you enjoyed some of the sessions there. What were the kind of standout topics for you? And did actually anyone say anything of interest? Because I know from going to other conferences in previous times that everyone's always a little bit safe with what they say. They don't want to kind of push it too much. Was there kind of some open, honest conversations?
Yeah, to an extent, there was good insight, good conversation. I think these things are really hard to do. And like, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. Like for my own panel, like I wanted to be very, very authentic, pushing the boundaries. I mean, there was a good conversation on the metaverse with Eric Landre from Carta. I thought that panel was, you know, was strong.
Eric's on next good week.
Yeah. And Eric actually seems like a very knowledgeable person. I thought that was good. There was another panel on brands, you know, as we mentioned it. I thought that was, you know, quite good. I think it's very hard for these conferences to get the kind of real true insights. I think you're very reliant on how good the moderator is and what the relationships are. I'll be very honest, and I didn't say it to them at the time, but I didn't realize that Monster Energy were working with NSE before I got into my panel, which shifted your kind of perspective on what the conversation is and going, because they're leaning off each other, you know, and it feels pally, which is great, because I'd been looking, I knew Intel was a strong partner of NSE, and I had a couple of questions around that. So I think it's good to understand the structure of these panels when you're kind of going into them. That's what makes the chat that more interesting, I guess, on it. But there was a lot of insights shared. But as always, like there could be more, but that's what we're always going to look for anyway.
Yeah, I always used to love doing the panels. It's one of my things I used to do. I used to go and host panels quite a lot. I've done one at ESI actually talking about the motorsport sim racing side.
Yeah,
so I think that must have been 2018. So probably about 3 years ago or so. That was probably one of my last big conferences that I actually went to. But yeah, you know, you've got to do your prep as a host. You've got to kind of have the right understanding and just let the conversation flow as well.
I didn't get to do it, but there was a MeSpace VR there, and there was some sim racing of tools that you could actually test them out. You know, that looked really, really, really good as well. But like the majority of my time, I was there to kind of, yes, it was bonus to catch one or two kind of panels, but I was there to meet people. you know, and use the opportunity kind of like that to see people that, you know, either doing business with, want to do business or just want to connect and have a chat up and see them in that face-to-face environment. And that for me was the beauty of it, you know.
Did you get to try in the axe throwing? That's my hot. I wanted to get that in before you had to
leave.
You
have to stop robbing my questions here. Like,
yeah. Well, two of you can fight it out who gets to ask me the best question next time, okay? but do you know what? The axe throwing, it looked deadly. There was loads of these little food stalls, and I had a beer, and I was chatting. I was with James from the Williams Racing team. I was with Tundra, and we had some actually nice chat. There was a quiz going on. And next thing I realized, I had to get a train home to get to the airport, and my train got delayed. And I don't need a GoFundMe page, but it was £150 to get a cab to Stansted Airport. So there was a lesson learned. And you're going, well, what the hell has this got to do with an axe throwing? Two things. One, I would like to have thrown an axe at the train, not the drivers of the train, just the train. But that might have delayed it further. That was my lack of emotional control. And then the other point was, I really wanted to do the axe throwing, but didn't get a chance to do it. I did crack a joke about the bad axe throwing in my panel as well. That didn't go down well either. I think the lesson needs to be
You're going
to work
through
on my
jokes here that none of them work.
None of them work. No, they didn't. Yeah, it's kind of a because I came back and Una, she was going now, like, how was the panel? I said, great, you know, told a few jokes, and she's, oh, you didn't, did you? I was like, yeah, and she said, and I was like, I'm not going to change, not for you, not for anybody.
Yeah, you might not get asked back either.
Well, it's true, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, we'll work on the jokes. If anybody's listening that wants me hosting panels,
you practice them on here first. If you get tumbleweed between me and Ben, then you know not to do it.
Okay. To be honest, any tumbleweed's going to be coming from the masterpiece that's under Ben's nose. I wish anybody could see these on videos. It's a fantastic mustache. I love it.
Yeah, well, it's...
Well, he needs to produce a video, a little GIF clip for us to promote this one. So maybe you can take a photo and do that for this. Yeah. So just so people can see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's my time at ESI.
Good stuff. Well, I'm the only one of the three of us who hasn't been there, so I don't mind taking TBD there next year.
I think we ought to pitch in for the live show next year.
Yeah. Let's do it. Live show there. Love it. Sam, again, Sam needs, I don't know if Sam listens to this. I hope he does. I think he would. So Sam,
I think
Cook,
he'd be a good guest on here, to be honest.
Sam Cook, we want John as a guest, but we also want to do a live show at Esports Insider.
There you go. As a trade-off, he can get on here if we can get on the stage at ESI.
Exactly.
So really quickly, before we wrap up, do you want to run through anything you've seen over the last week?
Yeah. One kind of very big one that's kind of taps into one of the subjects that Trev spoke about in terms of the metaverse, that hot term that everyone's using at the moment with Facebook or Meta doing the metaverse. And also you've got Microsoft who have teamed up with Facebook for Microsoft Teams. So they're kind of joining up on this, but also Unity. Obviously they're huge in terms of the gaming backend, the power that allows for these amazing looking games that we've got at the moment. But also they've just bought Peter Jackson's VFX studio for a small $1.6 billion. And you add that on top of their move into this side of things. Peter Moore, who's the ex from my Sporting Kind of side, ex-chief executive of Liverpool. He was at EA before that. He's now at Unity, and he did a talk at Leaders in Sport, one of their events a couple of weeks ago, where he was talking about the metaverse and where this could go for sports. And I'm trying to learn about it because you've got to stay on these trends. But that buying of Peter Jackson's kind of studio that allows them to produce a hell of a lot more in terms of the characters within it and adding layers on top of what they've already got. So it'd be really interesting to see where that goes. I think that's one to keep an eye on.
No, you're dead right. I don't know if you've seen any of the metaverses that are kind of around at the moment. Some of them just look like the internet on dial-up. Like, they're very low fidelity, you know, graphics that you'd expect from...
It's a really tough one because you've got to think, people are streaming this, you know, the back end, is it there yet? Do you have the power via kind of, you know, your Wi-Fi connection, etc., to be able to get the amount of data onto your computer that you need to be able to enter these metaverses?
Yeah.
That's probably the big thing. You know, you've got to have that to catch up with where people want to take it. And I don't think it's quite there yet.
Yeah, I think people are expecting the world of Ready Player One, but then logging into something that's as lo-fi as Minecraft might be. But this is really interesting. Yeah, like if they can improve the look and feel and make it a bit more mainstream, I think people will be pretty interested in it. One for me that jumped out, you know, I'm always harping on about the brand space, but one that jumped out was Space Station Gaming have formed an exclusive partnership with a breakfast fast food company called Oats Overnight. So it's just another example of a non-endemic brand trying to enter the space. It's their first foray into the esports world. But I think the founder of Brian Tate, the founder of Oats Overnight, Brian Tate, he used to be a professional poker player. So he has sort of a gaming background, and where he figures that this fits really well with the esports world is that he understands that optimizing the physical health and nutrition is important to help you play in your peak mental performance. So he wants this breakfast product to be the number one sort of energy and nutrition provider for esports community.
Yeah, it'd be interesting with that because it's, as you say, non-endemic coming in. Mm-hmm. And there's always the debate about, you know, you've had fast food companies coming in and that kind of link with gaming, which is unhealthy, and then optimizing the nutrition, and it feels like the fits are kind of not quite there. And a fast food breakfast company doesn't feel like the most nutritious and the best way of going about
brain
in the right condition.
Yeah, I'm not sure they would appreciate that phraseology, which I took from an article.
That was your summary.
Yeah, but it's fast in terms of it's you pour water in and you get your product straight away and it has all the nutrition you need, not necessarily derived of unhealthy products.
Not dry-free.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we've seen a big swing recently away from energy drinks in the world of esport, and they are looking for products with a bit more of a health positive sort of brand vibe. So we're only going to see more of these kind of products entering in. And you do know, like if streamers, esports professionals, but just your average gamer who could be spending 5, 6, 7 hours online gaming, there is a tardiness and fatigue you do get. And that's why energy drinks have, you know, successfully won in that space for so long. But people are a bit more conscious now. So if they want their fuel, they're going to find it in another product. And hopefully Oats Overnight is one of those brands.
Yeah, we'll see how they get into it and see how they can manage to tap into that. We're always banging on about authenticity when these brands are coming into it. So see where they do rather than it just being a pure sales play.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. Anything else from your side?
We've got obviously more and more coming up. We're pretty much a weekly podcast now.
Yeah, that's it. And we've some exciting guests lined up to chat. I think we've got a bit of a backlog, so we've got some exciting interviews to publish, and we're recording every week as well with the new guests. So there's it should carry us up to Christmas, I think.
Yeah, because we've got Challenger Mode coming up, and we've got Guild.
Yeah.
Those ones who we have to mention every single episode. I think that's just going to turn into a running theme that we have to find a way of crowbarring them in.
Well, it is now, definitely.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Cheers. See you.